Good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to be here, and you've actually just taken away the first page of my speech. So, but generally, it's great to be here, and actually, it's great to be in a location with people as compared to as we have been doing over the last few years, to speak to folk on a screen in our rooms and in our houses or wherever we are. So, it is really generally wonderful to see so many people here in the room today. It's also great that we can discuss the issue regarding people's access to eye healthcare in Scotland and how we develop better pathways for people with visual impairments to access community support. And we've already heard this morning that clearly in Scotland that progress has been made, but certainly any politician, anyone involved in the public sector would know that you always have to strive to improve upon what you currently have. As anyone in the cross-party group knows, I've never shirked away from challenging the government on issues, and that's what you should be doing in every single cross-party group. So, but before I do begin, I want to thank the National Visual Impairment Organisations, RNIB Scotland, Sight Scotland, Guide Dogs Scotland, the Thomas Pocklington Trust and Vision of Scotland, supported by many of the local societies and organisations for visual impairment across Scotland, for making today's event happen and also to making it such a success. So I am the MSP for Greenock and Inverclyde, and as James said, I've chaired the cross-party group since 2011. I was a member of the cross-party group when I was first elected in 2007. It's one of the cross-party groups that, as James said, is very much well attended, and I generally have the privilege of chairing the cross-party group. Well, cross-party groups are not formal parts of the parliamentary business. The networking that it does afford that the visual impairment community has certainly, in my view, led to an increasing awareness of the importance of eye healthcare. And furthermore, also, although the cross-party groups can't raise issues directly in the chamber, for example, having a debate, certainly in terms of the kind of challenging the Scottish Government as such, but we do challenge the government. But this is where the politicians who are members of the cross-party groups, they can either take the issues forward themselves to then try to have debates and also raise questions, or as I said a few moments ago, members of the actual cross-party groups themselves, we can write directly to government and also to local authorities. And certainly in the past, our cross-party group did also write to the European Parliament on some issues. We don't do that now, of course. Certainly, one of the things that our cross-party group did in the last session, and that was we had a joint session with then Social Security Secretary, Jean Freeman. Jean was taking through the Social Security Scotland Bill in the Parliament, and it was agreed to have a joint session I had to get one of the bigger rooms because both cross-party groups were very well attended. So Jean came in and engaged with an answer to questions that were put by anyone who actually wanted to put questions forward in the room. That actually helped change some of the policy direction for that bill. I know this afternoon one of the discussion points is going to be on the National Care Service. I certainly would think that another discussion topic, it could be worthwhile for our cross-party group to potentially lead and invite maybe another one to come in at the future to have a discussion with the minister in charge of that bill. Also, four committees have already reported. And as we know, that the actual bill itself is a bit of a framework bill. So there's still a lot of secondary legislation that will have to be drafted for the bill, pending if the bill were to pass through the parliamentary process. So we have an opportunity to actually help shape that bill going forward. So the Q&A and the discussions were genuinely really powerful, and they did influence and change the government's direction with regards to eye care. That's the last bill. So this shows that the cross-party groups actually can have an impact, and over the 11 years I've been convener, I genuinely have appreciated that the positive difference the cross-party group visual impairment has facilitated for those living in Scotland with sight loss. I believe that this stems from the fact that the cross-party group has enabled a more joined-up approach when it comes to advocating for people affected by sight loss, to have access to high quality care and also support to live as independently as possible in the community. The cross-party group is not the only vehicle for the visual impairment sector and optometry services to raise issues in the Scottish Parliament, as events and exhibitions have also proved important in keeping eye health on the agenda. And for example, just 2 weeks ago, I met representatives from the Forth Valley Sensory Centre who were in exhibiting in Parliament. And I know that many of the other MSPs from across the chamber went and had a discussion with them, and certainly, as Jackie told me earlier on, they've had a number of requests from MSPs to actually go along and learn more. So that is a great opportunity to engage wider in the Parliament. It certainly helps keep the issues fresh in the MSPs' minds amongst the many competing demands that we do have. And just to give you one very small example, my office has always been a busy office, and prior to COVID, we would operate around about 130, 140 active cases per week. At peak of COVID, and this went on for quite a number of months, that 130, 140 went up to about 360 per week. Now, that clearly didn't include many normal day-to-day cases, because some people just didn't want to raise them because the focus was on COVID. Then as things started to ease in terms of restrictions, then those issues then came back into parliamentary offices. So my office has always been busy, and it always will be busy whilst I'm the MSP for Greenock and Inverclyde. As the convener of the cross-party group, I've also attempted to use the role to encourage everyone in Scotland to take an interest in their eye health, and certainly as James and RNAB Scotland don't know, there's been a couple of events that we've undertaken in the constituency to help engage with more of the population. Because I think, looking back to an earlier point regarding the free eye examination, certainly one of the reports from a couple of years ago, the figures were clear in terms of the demographic of areas where there's a bit more deprivation. Fewer people seem to be going. Still a high number of people going, but fewer as compared to areas where there's more affluence. So we did a couple of events, obviously in tandem with Specsavers, to try to help push and promote and encourage people to go along. But too often, I do sadly hear some people dismiss the free eye health checks as something for people who wear glasses, contact lenses, or have a more serious visual impairment. Yet we know that the eye examinations not only help prevent sight loss or catch it early, so as much vision as possible can be saved, they also identify other health conditions such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and also heart disease. This is why the free eye health checks are vital, are a vital part of our healthcare offering. And I do warmly welcome the continued commitment from the Scottish Government to fund the service since its introduction in 2006. And reflecting on this morning's sessions focused on accessing eye care in Scotland, we know that around 183,000 people in Scotland are currently estimated to be living with significant sight loss, and sadly we know that sight loss is increasing. So we must factor this into service provision and planning and consider how accessibility or sometimes a lack of it does impact efforts to improve Scotland's eye health. So many factors impact upon accessibility, including geography, age, gender, ethnicity, a person's level of independence and sight loss, and ensuring that we develop the pathways that accounts for this is critical, and the sustainability of any such pathway is dependent on being able to adapt to each patient's circumstances to ensure that barriers become obsolete. And creating a seamless end-to-end eye care pathway therefore requires big picture thinking and working together across primary, secondary and community care with key roles for optometry, NHS, local government and the third sector to give patients the best possible outcomes. Ultimately, it's about putting the patient first. And furthermore, it's in everyone's interest to improve eye care services, pathways and support in Scotland, because this does feed into the Scottish Government's commitment to making sure that Scotland's population will continue to live longer, healthier lives. National Records of Scotland, latest projections, so projections suggest that the population of Scotland will continue increasing until around mid-2033, peaking at around about 5.53 million people. And Scotland's population is also still projected to age, with a number of people aged 65 and over projected to grow by nearly a third by mid-2045. So this goes back to the issue of sustainability. The pathways need to be future-proofed so that the eye care services deliver better outcomes for patients and ultimately work to prevent sight loss rather than react to it. But I'll kind of go back to a point that was raised this morning also, and that's the issue of technology. Technology doesn't stand still. That changes all the time. So my one caveat to what I've just said is that I think the continual advancements in technology will actually certainly help aid the challenges that Scotland is going to face to ensure that our older population have got the better health services going forward. Developing the digital tools and technology alongside the public sector reform and create and make available accessible information for patients and giving them control over their own care is absolutely key. And health professionals who work in optometry, those involved with visual impairment, third sector organisations, and those with lived experience of sight loss are, of course, far better placed than me when it comes to service design and delivery. But as an MSP and the convener of the Cross-Party Group, I'm committed to doing all that I can to in my role to further this agenda. And looking ahead now to this afternoon's session, I'm pleased that the See Here strategy is very much on the agenda. And this is a crucial piece of work, and we were glad to have hosted it at the Cross-Party Group, the last meeting we had very recently. I'm also looking forward to hearing from Dr. Hazel McFarlane and learning more about the Scottish Sensory Hub. And as I'm sure that Dr. McFarlane will outline, this is a new development for the sensory loss sector in Scotland and draws upon experience from Deaf Scotland and the Scottish Council on visual impairment. But I wholeheartedly welcome this approach to reaching out across the sensory landscape and working with other organisations to deliver better outcomes for patients, and I look forward to hearing more about the project. In concluding, I want to reaffirm that the Cross-Party Group on Visual Impairment is always happy to have items from across the sector raised at its meetings. And we will continue to link in with government officials and ministers if appropriate. And that's something that James touched upon. It's something we have done, and we will continue to do that, because it's important that the ministers and the officials come along to cross-party groups in the Parliament so they can hear directly from people who are the experts. And if anyone does have any issues that they would like to be considered and discussed at any of the future cross-party group meetings, please contact Katrina Burness of RNAB Scotland, who undertake the secretariat for the cross-party group. And finally, I look forward to talking to as many of you as I possibly can today, and also in the Scottish Parliament, and certainly at future cross-party group meetings. And I wish everyone well for the remainder of the conference. Thank you very much.